ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 23 टेक्स्ट नंबर 14। संपीड्य पायुं पार्ष्णेभ्यां वायुं उत्सारयान् शनै नाभ्यां कोष्ठेषु अवस्थाप्य हृद् उरः कंठ शीर्षणि। संपीड्य पायुं पार्ष्णेभ्यां वायुं उत्सारयन् शनैः नाभ्यां कोष्ठेषु अवस्थाप्य हृद् उरः कंठ शीर्षणि। संपीड्य पायुं पार्ष्णेभ्यां वायुं उत्सारयन् शनैः नाभ्यां कोष्ठेषु अवस्थाप्य हृद् उरः कंठ शीर्षणि। संपीड्य पायुं पार्ष्णेभ्यां वायुं उत्सारयन् शनैः नाभ्यां कोष्ठेषु अवस्थाप्य हृद् उरः कंठ शीर्षणि। Ladies, Sampidya by blocking Payum, the door of the anus. Parshnibhyam, by the calves. Vayum, the air which goes up. Utsarayan, pushing upward. shanahi, gradually. Nabhyam, by the navel. Koshteshu, in the heart and in the throat. Avasthapya, fixing. Hrit, in the heart. Uraha, upward. Kantha, throat. Shirshani, between the two eyebrows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. When Maharaj Prithu practiced a particular yogic sitting posture, he blocked the doors of his anus with his ankles, pressed his right and left calves, and gradually raised his life air upward, passing it on the circle of his navel, up to his heart and throat, and finally pushed it upward to the central position between his two eyebrows. Purport. The sitting posture described herein is called Muktasana. In the yoga process, after following the strict regulative principles controlling sleeping, eating and mating, one is allowed to practice the different sitting postures. The ultimate aim of yoga is to enable one to give up his body according to his own free will. One who has attained the ultimate summit of yoga practice can live in the body as long as he likes, or as long as he is not completely perfect. Leave the body to go anywhere within or outside the universe. Some yogis leave their bodies to go to the higher planetary systems and enjoy the material facilities therein. However, intelligent yogis do not wish to waste their time within this material world at all. They do not care for the material facilities in higher planetary systems, but are interested in going directly to the spiritual sky, back home, back to Godhead. From the description in this verse, it appears that Maharaj Prithu had no desire to promote himself to the higher planetary systems. He wanted to return home immediately, back to Godhead. Although Maharaj Prithu stopped all practice of mystic yoga after realizing Krishna consciousness, he took advantage of his previous practice and immediately placed himself on the Brahma Bhuta platform in order to accelerate his return to Godhead. The aim of this particular system of asana, known as sitting posture for liberation or muktasana, is to attain success in Kundalini chakra and gradually raise the life from Muladhara chakra to the Swadhisthana chakra, then to the Manipura chakra, the Anahata chakra, the Vishuddha chakra, and finally to the Agya chakra. When the yogi reaches the Agya chakra between the two eyebrows, he is able to penetrate the Brahmarandra or the hole in his skull and go to any planet he desires up to the spiritual kingdom of Vaikuntha or Krishna Loka. The conclusion is that one who has come to the Brahmabhuta stage for going back to Godhead. However, those who are in Krishna consciousness or who are practicing Bhakti Yoga, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho Smaranam Padasevanam, can return to Godhead without even practicing the Muktasana process. The purpose of Muktasana practice is to come to the Brahmabhuta stage. For without being on the Brahmabhuta stage, one cannot be promoted to the spiritual sky as stated in Gita. Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. The bhakti yogi practicing bhakti yoga is always situated on the Brahmabhuta stage. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. If a devotee is able to continue on the Brahma Bhuta platform, he enters the spiritual sky automatically after death and returns to Godhead. Consequently, a devotee need not feel sorry for not having practiced the Kundalini Chakra or not penetrating the six chakras one after another. As far as Maharaj Prithu was concerned, he had already practiced this process, and since he did not want to wait for the time when his death would occur naturally, He took advantage of the Shat Chakra penetration process and thus gave up the body according to his own free will and immediately entered the spiritual sky. So I would humbly seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, so that I can speak something for my purification and in the service of the devotees. So, yesterday Govind Prabhu gave a brilliant description about how one has to leave his body in spiritual consciousness, and he was quoting many examples. And in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada is describing about how a devotee, even without practicing all the detailed yoga processes, can go back home, back to Godhead by the practice of bhakti yoga. And he can attain to the spiritual kingdom of Vaikuntha. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Jhansi before he had come to America, one of the earliest books he published was Easy Journey to Other Planets. And he was trying to distribute this book in Jhansi to one of his friends. And then he was telling his friend that you'd read this book and you can go to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world. And this friend asked him that after going to Vaikuntha, can I come back to Jhansi? So Prabhupada said, you can't do that. So he said, then I don't want this, because I'm so attached to this place that I don't see the point if I cannot have any connection with Jhansi. So Srila Prabhupada, he explains in great detail in that literature as to how one can attain to the spiritual abode simply by the practice of bhakti yoga. Now it is interesting that here Prabhupada mentions all about how a yogi gradually raises his consciousness and life force from Mooladhara Chakra to Swadhisthana Chakra, into Manipura Chakra, Anahata Chakra, Vishuddha Chakra, Agya Chakra. So all of these chakras, they are extremely difficult to control. And our Durvasa Muni had practically understood all of these principles of these chakras, but finally he had to surrender to Sudarshan Chakra, because he committed an offense to a devotee. And therefore, through that pastime, Srila Prabhupada, in these purports, very clearly establishes how a devotee is the highest yogi, because it is like a direct match between Durvasa Muni and Ambarish, and the consciousness of both of these transcendentalists is shown. That when Durvasa Muni, he is angry, he just releases this demon. And then Ambarish Maharaj is totally unaffected. He takes shelter of Krishna. And then, when the Sudarshan Chakra starts chasing Durvasa Muni, because as a yogi he is always practiced to depend on himself and his own efforts, so he is unable to actually take proper shelter. And he travels all over the universe, devoid of any peace. So therefore, in that pastime, the Sudarshan Chakra, when he is chasing Durvasa Muni, it is actually revealing what is the position of a devotee versus other transcendentalists. So in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada explains that Sudarshan means one which illuminates. The Sudarshan Chakra is that which illuminates. So therefore, when there is darkness, you cannot see what is what. And one may have a mistaken idea about people, about circumstances, situations. In ignorance, nothing is clear. But when there is illumination, when there is light, you can understand what is what, you can understand the relative distinctions, differences between higher and lower. So externally, it appeared that Ambarish Maharaj is a householder surrounded by royal opulence. He is not such an advanced spiritualist. And Durvasa Muni, because of his dress and all of these, because he was not having any dress, He was completely free from any kind of material encumbrances. Appeared that he is very advanced as a spiritualist, because of the typical stereotyped idea one may have about what spirituality is all about. So it appeared that Durvasa Muni was very advanced spiritually. But when Sudarshan chased him, so Sudarshan means that which illuminates. So therefore, under the illumination of Sudarshan, the reality was revealed. And therefore, spiritual knowledge is also compared to this Sudarshan. Darshan means philosophy, and therefore the purports are known as Darshan. Therefore, the Acharya's commentaries are known as Darshan, or philosophical truths revealed. And then under the influence of this illumination and light, the reality about what is good, what is bad, who is higher, who is not higher, who is advanced, not so advanced, all of these principles are revealed. Therefore, a bhakti yogi gets all the benefits of understanding the reality simply by being in touch with the philosophical truths as explained in these wonderful purports by Srila Prabhupada. So, in the Upadeshamrita, it is very clearly established that when one practices devotional service and engages in reciprocation, Dadati pratigrihnati guhyama khyati prichati bhungte bhojete chaiva shadvida priti lakshana. Simply by participating in simple exchanges, one can actually practice the highest form of yoga. And then the experience which he gets is much higher than any of the other yoga practices which one can think of, as Srila Prabhupada establishes in this purport. So we find that in the purport to Dadati Pratigrihnati, Srila Prabhupada establishes the concept of giving and receiving the holy name. So therefore, what the yogis go through in great detail for years and years, a devotee achieves very simply with simply these three processes of chanting Hare Krishna, of coming in contact with Gita and Bhagavatam, spiritual philosophy, and third is simply by exchanging prasadam. Just by doing these activities, one attains the highest stage, which is even very, very difficult to achieve for someone who may practice all of these yogic principles. So the effort is much more and the destination is not the highest. Therefore, a bhakti yogi gets the highest destination, the highest realization, by practicing a process which is relatively more simple. And Bhagavatam explains that just because the process is simple, one should not come to the wrong and erroneous conclusion that the realization is also inferior. Because normally the experience in this material world is, to achieve something which is highest, you have to put effort also which is the highest, and go through a lot of austerity and difficulty. But the amazing thing about bhakti is one can achieve the highest by putting efforts which is relatively much more simpler compared to all these yogic processes. So therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inundated the whole world with Harinam Sankirtan. And in this beautiful painting here, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is with the Mayavadis in Varanasi, in one of the verses, Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread this holy name, and that influenced practically everyone except those who were touched by this Mayavad philosophy. And in fact, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Prayag, in one of the verses Kaviraj Goswami explains that by the chanting of the holy name, the whole of Prayag got inundated and flooded. Whereas Ganges and Yamuna, when they came together, when they come together and meet at Sangam, that could not flood the whole city of Prayag. But the inundation created by Harinam Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that created the flooding. And therefore Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come with the garland of the holy name. And he has come with the garland of the Harinam and love of Krishna. And he is trying to garland the whole universe with his wonderful garland. So this is the whole idea about how simply by chanting of the holy names, one can achieve the highest destination. Just like recently, last year in Bombay, there was a bomb blast. There were at least 12 to 13 bomb blasts in various local trains by terrorists. And during this bomb blast, one of our devotees was traveling in the local trains. This happened exactly a year back in July last year. And as he was traveling, he had just returned from his office. It was evening time. And he came to a seat at the corner of the, next to the window. And he requested the gentleman there that, "I want to sit here." And the man said, "No, you can't sit here. I am sitting here. You go to some other place." So this devotee went to the other side and sat. And then he had some round spending, so he was chanting his holy name. He was chanting Hare Krishna on his beads. And then because he was tired, it was evening time, and all day he had worked in the office, so while chanting, he just dozed off. And he didn't realize when he, you know, slept off. And then suddenly all he heard was a huge bomb blast. He heard a blast and he just woke up with a start, wondering, what is this sound? And then he saw that there was devastation all around. People were screaming and practically the whole compartment, 80% of the people had died. And others were injured. And he was practically the only person who was still alive. And then he found that he was still in the same sitting position. And the beads and the bead bag was still in his hands. The bead bag was there. The beads had flown somewhere. And then he searched. The first thing he did was he started searching for his beads. And then he got his beads. And then he found out that the place where he wanted to sit before, that was the place where the bomb was placed. And somehow, by Krishna's arrangement, the Paramatma within that person's heart influenced him to chastise him. And then he left that place and sat here. And then he was saved. And this is not the end of the story. The same time, his father was traveling in another train. And there was a bomb placed in that train also. And it was also in the same compartment where he was traveling. And his father also got saved. And then that is not the end of the story. His brother and sister were traveling in another train together. And a bomb was placed in the compartment next to where they were traveling. And part of this compartment was also blasted. But the brother and sister were saved. So his realization was, because I was chanting Hare Krishna, at least till the blast happened, and maybe even I dozed off, but still because somehow the holy name was there, so our whole family got saved. And then there was a television interview on ZTV and Star TV. And they took this whole family and they interviewed. They were interviewing different people who escaped from this blast. So this devotee wore dhoti kurta with tilak and everything. And then, you know, part of the interview, he just glorified the holy name. And he just said how chanting of Hare Krishna provides the greatest security, not only materially, spiritually, and in so many ways. But the television channel, they were, you know, so secular that they cut off that part. They showed everything else, you know, all the other experiences and everything. But they didn't show about him preaching the glories of the holy name. So the holy name is such that very easy to connect with. And anyone can take to this process and experience the influence immediately. Just like one of our devotees, Shyam Charan Prabhu, his mother left her body last year, just a year back. This year in January. So she came to Krishna consciousness when she was practically 65, when she was very old, 60 or something. And then she started chanting Hare Krishna, and she got so much taste that she started chanting at least 32 rounds every day. And she knew a little bit of philosophy, but she was attracted to the holy dhams, and she would visit all of these places. And then suddenly she got cancer. Now because of cancer, she just could not move at all for the last 8 months. And just 10 days before she left her body, many devotees went to visit her, including Radhanath Maharaj had gone. And she was an initiated devotee. Her name was Radha Shakti Devi Dasi. And Dayaram Prabhu was there. He was visiting the temple. He came. I was there. And many of the devotees went. And because she was so much attached to chanting of the holy name, even in that state where she was going through so much of pain, she was constantly chanting Krishna's holy name. And she was constantly speaking about Vrindavan. And when the devotees came, she became extremely overwhelmed, and she just told Maharaj that you please speak something. And then Maharaj was speaking about Vrindavan Dham, about the glories of chanting of holy name and how her life is perfect. And then he had brought some Mahaprasad garlands and he offered it to her. And then he took a Maha jewelry remnants from Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar, Radharani's jewelry, which someone had given it to him in the morning. So some guest had come and given this piece of jewelry to Maharaj in the morning from Vrindavan, from Srimati Radharani, and he came and gave this also and placed it upon her chest and said, this is Radharani's jewelry remnants from Vrindavan. And the amazing thing is that 3 years back, this lady, Radha Shakti Mataji, she had so much of affection and devotion for Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar that she had collected all of the gold jewelry which she had. And she told her son that, I don't want any of this gold jewelry. You take all of this and give it to Radha Shyam Sundar and make jewelry for Radharani. And she had donated all of her gold jewelry to be made as jewelry for Srimati Radharani, for the deities in Vrindavan. And this, none of us knew, even Maharaj did not know. And it just happened that morning someone came with this jewelry. So it was as if she had given all of her gold to Radharani, and she was reciprocating by sending Mahaprasad, remnants from part of her paraphernalia. So therefore, this is the amazing reciprocation which a devotee experiences in Krishna consciousness. When he offers something to the Lord, then the Lord always remembers this and reciprocates. And then just a few days later, again on Advaita Acharya's appearance day, she left her body. And therefore, we can see the power of chanting of the holy name, that even if a person simply practices the chanting sincerely and may lead a very simple life, but the power of holy name is such that one's destination is guaranteed. So this chanting is very powerful. And then the second principle is connection with the philosophy. When one comes in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, his life changes. The Gita and the Bhagavatam and the purports of Srila Prabhupada, they transform. Just like in Ramayana it is described that as Hanumanji was passing through Lanka at night and the moon was shining, and it is described that the sunshine is extremely powerful and sometimes very scorching, but the moonshine, which is very cooling and soothing. So sometimes Krishna's words and instructions are compared to sunshine. So they may be very difficult to access. But when the acharyas give their commentaries and purports, so Srila Prabhupada's purports, they are very cooling and soothing and make something very accessible. So one may not be able to comprehend what Krishna is speaking, through the shlokas, but Prabhupada's purports, they illuminate. At the same time, they are very cooling, soothing, and make one appreciate the importance of these words. So just like Janananda Prabhu was explaining that in Africa, they were doing Harinam Sankirtan. And someone came up, one small boy came up to him and said, that our father is calling you home for lunch. And he got very bewildered. Because he said in Africa, if someone says come for lunch, it could mean anything. So he just said that lunch means, what do you mean? He said, you just come, my father is calling. So he said, let me go along. He went. And he found that his father was a tribal chief. And he welcomed Janananda Prabhu and, you know, gave him a seat. And he said that I have been looking for some of you for a very long time. Because I came across a book. I read this book completely. I enjoyed it thoroughly. But I want someone to explain it to me. And then simply by reading this book, my son is also chanting Hare Krishna. And he took this book out, and this book was Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada. And in the middle of the jungles in Africa, somehow, somewhere he had got this book. And his son had got transformed. And he told this devotee that if you can simply take my son and train him up in these principles, I'll be so glad. So we can see that Srila Prabhupada's books, they are so powerful, they can go anywhere and transform anyone at any point of time. That is the power of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The sages of Naimisharanya, they explained to Sutta Goswami that we have been sitting and doing this yajna for such a long time. But this yajna is simply releasing so much of smoke, which is making our faces black. And our heart is still black. So therefore, when you speak Harikatha, that Harikatha will actually transform us and purify us. And in this way, they are requesting that please speak Krishna Katha. This Krishna Katha is extremely purifying. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada established Krishna Consciousness Movement and established these temples so that these temples could become centers for disseminating transcendental knowledge. When Prabhupada was struggling to create the Juhu temple, many people were coming and arguing that why there is need for such an elaborate, gorgeous temple. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is not just a temple, it is like a Vedic university, a place where spiritual knowledge can be given out. At one time when they were not getting enough permissions to start the temple, Prabhupada said, if they don't give us permission to start a temple, we will just make this into a book go down. And we will have buses which will take these books, distribute everywhere, and come back, load the books and again go out. For a go down, we don't need permission. We just need to rent out a place and we'll just stay here. Because that is the essence of our movement of spreading knowledge. So this is a very powerful principle. And so Srila Prabhupada started the life membership program also. And he was, asking various people, the life members in Juhu, to help him establish the temple to give out knowledge, saying that there are hardly any centers which can give out real spiritual knowledge. One well-wisher and life member, Brij Ratan Mohta, he came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And this is a very interesting pastime because he is very closely related to the Birlas. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting with some life members on the terrace and talking to them. And when Mohta came, Srila Prabhupada introduced Mr. Mohta to everyone, saying that he is a very, very famous businessman in Bombay. And he is helping us with establishing this temple. And Mr. Mohta folded his hands and very humbly told Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, I am a very small businessman. You went to America with 40 rupees and a few books, but simply by publishing and distributing books, now you have 40 crores of rupees. You are the real big businessman. Prabhupada said, why don't you join my business then? So he said, not now. And Srila Prabhupada said, okay, but you can at least assist us in this mission by helping us create this temple, so that we could spread out the knowledge of the Gita everywhere. So in the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna is in the womb of Devaki, at that time, in one of the verses it is described that Krishna within Devaki's womb appeared to be like fire covered in a pot or knowledge which is not properly distributed. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says that for many years, the political leaders in India, like Kamsa, were trying to imprison Krishna within. But just as Krishna will ultimately appear and destroy Kamsa, similarly, this Krishna consciousness movement will also be born and spread and grow all over the world, and all the demoniac influences will be destroyed. So therefore, Harinam and Krishna Katha, and the third principle is Krishna Prasad. And just like the example is given that when someone gives some money, then you get a receipt, and that receipt is a proof that yes, I gave money. So therefore, when someone comes to a Hare Krishna program, you know, so the receipt is prasad, that you came here, you attended, okay, take this receipt. And in that way, as Krishna explains in the Gita, that any yajna without prasadam is not considered to be complete. So Srila Prabhupada established this principle of prasadam distribution so that one can get purified. Like Shruti Dharma Prabhu was giving a class in Chopati a few months back. And he was quoting this pastime from Braj Bihari Prabhu in Florida, that they were doing book distribution and they were in a van and they were sleeping at night after doing a whole day of book distribution. And suddenly they were surrounded by police cars. And the police cars, you know, they had their headlights on their van and they were announcing on their speaker system that, please come out, we have surrounded you and you have to surrender. And they got bewildered. They thought that for book distribution, you know, normally we have landed up with the police before, but not like this, that so many cars surrounding us. And when they came out, most of them were in gumchas, and they came out and the police, they just checked them, not much to check anyway. And they came inside and said, what is in your van? And they checked the van and found Srila Prabhupada's books. And the chief who was doing the investigation, he picked up one of the Bhagavad Gitas, turned around and saw Srila Prabhupada's picture, and he said, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And then they got bewildered. And he said that, actually, I was going to this University of Florida, and I did not have money for paying through during my college years. And I used to take this prasadam, which you distribute on this campus for many, many years. And that's how I could finish my college education. So I'm very grateful for this wonderful opportunity. And I also, associated for some time with devotees. And he said that today, unfortunately, you know, someone broke into a gun store or arms store and stole some guns. And the description of the van is same as your, you know, van here. So we thought you are the same group. So that's why somehow, accidentally, we are searching for you. So please forgive me. And then he said that, is there anything I can do? And the devotee said, well, we have many books here and we have not yet sold them off. So immediately he ordered all of his other officers that if you have some money, please take these books. And because it was an order coming from the chief, so they had to follow. And they sold books worth a few hundred dollars. So prasadam is something which will gradually purify. And how the effect will happen when, very difficult to understand. So just like an airplane, when it goes on the runway, so the runway may appear to be a very restricted path. But unless the airplane moves on the restricted path, it cannot take off. So if the runway is not there and the airplane is just moving here and there on the ground, it cannot gather sufficient speed to take off. So similarly, the regulation and the restriction in the human form of life of dharma may appear to be sometimes too strict, restricting. But that restriction is good, Because when one leads a life on the runway of dharma, then one can actually elevate his consciousness and go on towards the spiritual world. And just like in an airplane, the pilot is in contact with the air traffic control. The pilot doesn't, you know, decide which direction to move simply by seeing clouds. He doesn't decide the path, this cloud is here, okay, this is where I took a turn. So on the return journey, he'll have a difficulty because the clouds won't be there. That's not a way to, you know, fly in an airplane. The airplane pilot is in touch with the air traffic control and they give him directions which way to go. So therefore, based on certain restrictions, based on certain principles and on the basis of hearing from higher authorities, a bhakti yogi very easily gets elevated as compared to a yogi, an ashtanga yogi. He has to do a lot of austerity and put a lot of effort. And still, as Durvasa Muni's case, we can see that ultimately all the chakras failed in front of the Sudarshan chakra. So therefore, we can see that Srila Prabhupada is very clearly establishing in this purport the superiority of bhakti and how it is the most practical thing for this age of Kali. Srila Prabhupada ki? Any comments or anything you'd like to say? Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Thai Gaur Premanande.